Laughter is a gift of God, a gift that we need in these days, in these holidays, when in a world of terrorism and road rage, estrangement and outsourcing, all is not calm and all is not bright.
That's the Reverend Dr. Ken Carter, and today he brings you an inspiring message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's our host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, as we continue in the season of Advent, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Dr. Kenneth Carter, Jr. Ken is District Superintendent of the Waynesville District in the Western North Carolina Conference of the United Methodist Church. Ken has preached on Day One numerous times over the past 7 years while he was Senior Pastor of Providence United Methodist Church in Charlotte. The author of several books, he blogs regularly at dayone.org and other sites. He earned a Master of Divinity degree from Duke Divinity School and a Doctor of Ministry degree from Princeton Theological Seminary. Ken, welcome back to Day One.
Thank you, Peter. It's wonderful to be here.
Earlier this year, you became a district superintendent in the United Methodist Church. So what does your job description look like?
Well, in this new role, I give oversight to about 69 congregations in the 7 western counties of North Carolina and their clergy, their pastors. Within this geographical area, there is also the Lake Junaluska Assembly. There is a children's home campus. There is a rafting ministry and a house church. And I could go on. There are lots of wonderful ministries that take place in this region.
And how do you try to serve the pastors under your care?
I try to encourage them. I try to support them in any way that I can. I am the liaison between clergy and congregations when there is conflict, and sometimes in local churches there is conflict. And so I try to mediate in those circumstances for the sake of the health of the church and for the sake of the health of the pastor.
So how has your transition from pastoral work to this more administrative position gone for you?
Well, first, I've found that I've had to give a lot more thought to the structure of my own spiritual life. In a local church, a lot of that happens in the process of preparing a weekly sermon and working with a passage of Scripture. And when I don't do that on such a regular basis, I've found that I've needed to work on the structure. And for me, that's been a lot more attention to, it sounds simple, but to something like morning and evening prayer and the daily office and trying to structure my spiritual life around the Psalms. And I know you've written about the Psalms.
And your wife, Pam, has also been active in the conference. What are some of the ways she has served?
Well, Pam continues to serve the people of Haiti. She is the conference mission specialist in Western North Carolina, and she continues to be related to work in Northern Haiti that happens in a school, in a microcredit initiative, and a health clinic. She's also working with groups of women and groups of younger clergy to take those persons to Haiti to be a part of that ongoing work.
Well, today the church continues in the season of Advent, and on this third Sunday, you see a theme woven through the scripture texts appointed for today. What is it?
The theme I identified was joy and humor, and I tried to think about God's gift of joy, but how we experience that as ordinary people is often in humor, and sometimes that humor can come in unexpected times and places. And I played a little bit with the stereotype that faith must be serious, and yet there are hints in each of the scripture passages about laughter and joy and humor. And the holidays can be a stressful time for people. We can often associate the holidays with some grief that we're working through or some loss. And so it's not necessarily a time of joy for people. And yet often that laughter, that joy comes in the midst of those difficult circumstances.
Your message today is entitled, The Hand of God on the Shoulder of a Troubled World. Ken, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Hear these words from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 61st chapter, beginning with the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. I'm going to reveal something very personal about myself here at the outset. When I was a child, one of my favorite programs was Hee Haw. A few of you may remember that show. It had a lot of bluegrass and country music. Folks were laying around in the hay thinking about going down to the corner of town to watch the stoplight turn green. It had other characters that must have made an impression on an adolescent boy, but I won't get into that. Hee Haw also had Grady Nutt. Grady was a Baptist preacher, a comedian, and he came to be known as the Prime Minister of Humor. I met Grady Nutt as a young adult. Tragically, he died in the 1980s in an airplane crash. Grady Nutt had a saying, "Laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world." That's where I want to begin as we focus on God's gift of joy on this third Sunday of Advent. Laughter is the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. Laughter is a gift of God. A gift that we need in these days, in these holidays, when in a world of terrorism and road rage, estrangement and outsourcing, all is not calm and all is not bright. The writer of the Proverbs knew about this gift and our need for it. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones. There is something about humor that brings us to life, and the scriptures for this day hint at all of this. The prophet Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." The psalmist, "Our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy." And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, "Rejoice always." We all need something that brings us to life, like a desert rejoicing and blossoming, like water in the desert. Have you heard any good jokes lately? Just that comment is enough to bring us out of the doldrums, to lift our spirits, to fill us with anticipation. One of my favorite jokes comes from my friend Danny Morris, who spent most of his life with the Upper Room in Nashville and is one of the most spiritual and at the same time funniest people I've been blessed to know. Here it is. There was a cantankerous, crabby old man. His neighbors avoided him. His four boys moved away from home as soon as they could. You get the picture. His poor wife was long-suffering in her presence. One night he went to bed and just slipped away. His four boys were called in. What should they do? He was hard to live around and no one could get along with him, but he was our paw. We owe him a decent burial out in the meadow beyond the field. So they went out to the barn and found some boards and made a casket. They put the box on their shoulders and carried it out past the barn. As they passed through the gate, one of the boys bumped into the post, and this caused them to drop the box. The casket broke open, and the cantankerous, crabby old man sat straight up. He had only been in a very deep sleep. Well, life got back to normal. He lived 2 more years, just as ornery and mean, cantankerous and crabby as ever. The boys could go back to their homes, but his poor wife had to stay with him. Then one night he went to bed and just slipped away. His four boys were called in. What should they do now? Well, he was hard to live around, and no one could get along with him, but he was our paw. We owe him a decent burial out in the meadow beyond the field. So they went out to the barn and found some boards and made a casket and put the old man in it. They put the box on their shoulders and started out of the house. And as they did, their mother, the old man's wife, said, "Boys, when you get out by the barn, be careful going through that gate." We need humor in our lives. It is like the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. It is like the desert rejoicing and blossoming. In the midst of the laughter, it is as if the sorrow and sighing flees away. The message of the prophet Isaiah is so relevant for us because it acknowledges the pain and the loss and the devastation the people had been through. And at the same time, it points to something beyond the present condition. The creation will be renewed. The ruined cities will be rebuilt. The exiles will come home. The oppressed will hear the good news. Those who mourn will be comforted. Near the end of his life, Jesus gathered his disciples and said to them, "You will weep and mourn. You will have pain, but your pain will be turned to joy. No one will take your joy from you. In the world, you will have persecution." And then he says in the King James Version, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." I like the words of Jim Harnish, a Methodist pastor friend in Tampa, Florida. "The resonant laughter echoing from heaven is not cheap, shallow, watery frivolity. It is rich, deep, vivid joy. It is gladness that comes from the same place as suffering, joy that comes from the same place as tears. It is the joy of men and women who face the suffering, injustice, and pain of the world in all its fury, but have taken hold of something stronger, deeper, and more powerful. They have grasped the assurance of the ultimate triumph of the goodness of God. They are of good cheer because they know that the power of God in Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Now, I know that I'm pushing a little here because we've all heard the message, haven't we, that Christians are supposed to be serious. It is as if some little voice is saying, "Wipe that smile off your face. Don't you know you're in church?" I love the insight of the novelist Peter DeVries, who wrote wonderfully comic and engaging books. Do not assume, he once said, that because I write in comic ways, I am being trivial, and I will not assume that because you write in serious ways, you are being profound. When we are most pressed, when we are most stressed, what is needed is not the serious and the somber, but something else. The hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. We need to laugh. Rejoice, Paul writes to the Thessalonians. Do not quench the spirit. And what is the fruit of that spirit? Joy. Sometimes, even in the toughest times, we need an experience of joy. A family story. My wife's father died a few years ago, the day before Palm Sunday. The arrangements were made, and a part of the ritual was an evening in the town's funeral home on the edge of the small city where they lived, where we were greeted by hundreds of people who had known him. He had been their football coach, neighbor, Sunday school teacher, friend, golfing buddy. Well, my wife and our two daughters were standing in the line being greeted, and hundreds of folks are coming through. Some recurring comments and questions came our way in the midst of the evening. For me, people would ask, "So you are a minister in Charlotte?" As if Charlotte were located on some other planet and we had been abducted by aliens. This question came again and again. "Yes," I replied, "we live in Charlotte. It's a great place." For my wife, the question asked over and over again was a little unfair. She had been away from this community for some time, since her teenage years. I was standing next to her, so I overheard some of this. Someone would grasp her hand and look into her eyes and ask this question, "You don't remember who I am, do you?" How do you respond to that one? And for our younger daughter, who does, in fact, play college volleyball and is tall, the question asked over and over again, to the point where I think she began to count the number of times, the number approaching 100 was, "Do you play basketball?" We laughed about all of this on the way to the graveside. It was a difficult time for many reasons. But there were moments like these when it was as if the hand of God was on our shoulder, touching us. In hindsight, it was God's gift of joy in a difficult time. It is acceptable to laugh, to smile, to have fun as people of God. We take the faith seriously, but we don't have to take ourselves so seriously. Chesterton was right. Angels can fly because they take themselves so lightly. And so we hear the word of the Lord on this third Sunday of Advent, and in many faith communities we will light the candle of joy. Ultimately, our joy is all about who Jesus is. After his time of testing in the desert, which paralleled Israel's exile, Jesus is worshiping in the synagogue in Nazareth, and he is reading the scripture for the people, and he opens the book of Isaiah to this very passage. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus closes the book and sits down, and everyone is looking at him. And then he says to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And in that moment, we get it. It's like the ending to a wonderful story, and we get it. We sense that this is where it was leading all along. We rejoice, we laugh, even in the midst of pain and loss and devastation, because in Jesus we hear the deep, resonant laughter of God. So, people of God, be joyful. Discover some occasion for laughter. Do not quench the spirit. Let the waters flow in the desert. Let the weeping turn to laughter. Let the desert become a garden. Rejoice. You are not alone. That embrace may be the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. Let us pray. O God, in this season, remind us that we are not alone. Help us to continue to pray without ceasing, and encourage us to rejoice always and to know that your hand is upon us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Now, Ken Carter offers some final thoughts on his message today with our host, Peter Wallace.
Ken, you pointed out the Bible's admonitions on this third Sunday of Advent to be joyful, to rejoice. And this is part of the message of Advent as we wait for the coming of Jesus. You said we all need something that brings us to life like water in the desert. How can we remind ourselves of the joy of our faith as we wait in this dark and cold and even treacherous world?
I've always perceived the third Sunday of Advent and the introduction of the theme of joy into these 40 days, into this season of Advent, as God's way of reminding us that we need joy, especially as we're making our way through some wilderness experience. It is often what sustains us, and it can be very unpredictable. There are humorous experiences in the Bible among all of the characters as they make their way through difficult times. And so I think for the people of God, for faith communities, it is to be attentive to those unlikely sources of humor, which can be healing for us.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea that humor in life is like the hand of God on the shoulder of a troubled world. Jesus promises disciples and us that we will weep and mourn and have pain, but our pain will be turned to joy. And humor can bring us laughter, but is that really joy? How are they related, humor and joy?
I think certainly joy can be much more than humor. But I also believe that for many of us, humor is an important way that we can experience the gift of God's joy, just in simple laughter at ourselves, not taking ourselves so seriously. There is a lightness to that, which can be very helpful to us.
And the humor is a way into that joy, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly.
The message of Jesus Christ is good news, and in this good news we can rejoice, even in the midst of pain and loss. Advent is the promise that joy is on its way. How can we best share that news?
We can help people by honestly walking with them through the season of Advent And a part of that is our not pretending that, as I say in the sermon, all is calm and all is bright. But it is recognizing that people are often living in the midst of great adversity and challenge. And yet in the midst of that, there can be joy and there can even be laughter. And to see all of this as a gift of God. Mm.
Ken Carter, thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you, Peter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever. Now, here's the Reverend Canon Louis Schutig, president of Day One, with a special word.
I have very distinct memories of when the gospel touched my heart, as a child, an adolescent, and throughout my adult years. And each moment is different. Some came in a pastor's encouraging words or from a book. How I remember as a teenager, the book Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips. Sometimes it was grace to see God's hand in a particular situation in life. Imagine how many times Day One has offered that moment of encountering the gospel. Each week since 1945, our preachers have endeavored to be the voice of the Spirit of Christ to touch hearts, minds, and souls with the good news. To ensure we continue to touch you and our many other listeners, we need your financial support. Please send your donation today to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. That's 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or visit us online at dayone.org and click on the donate button. We hope God touches you today, and we thank you for your response.